Economic Alliance presents the Gulf Coast Growth Show, your show for the coast with the most growth, with your host, Clint Aiken and Bruno Santilli.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Happy Friday. I love Fridays. Fridays are my favorite. So as you can tell, I am not Jason Lee. I am Clint Aiken. Jason is on a business trip, so I got to fill in for him. And this week, we're changing the format just slightly because we've got some really great feedback from people and they made some suggestions. So we're changing the format just a little bit. And with us this week, our guest is Rick Torreson. So Rick, you've been in the community, you said about 30 years as a teacher and leader and a lot of different roles. Right now he's a growth catalyst with Right Now Leadership. So we're gonna be talking about leadership, and with us is our producer and co-host,
Bruno Santilli.
So it's great to have him a part of the show.
Thank
you. Glad you're here. And before we really get into the meat of things, we do need to mention our sponsors. So I won't do the full commercial just yet, but we're going to mention the Industrial Safety Training Council and thank them for being a sponsor, McDonough Engineering Corporation, and Turner Industries. They're great partners. We love having them be a part of the show, and we'll give you a little more information about them as we roll into it. What is leadership? What does that mean to you? What does it look like? What's the definition? Very loaded question.
Very loaded question. Ready, go in 10 seconds or less. Well, first of all, thanks for having me be here. I'm sorry that Clint's not here. I've enjoyed Jason. Clint and or Jason's not here. Yeah. Thank you, Clint and Bruno.
Yeah, I'm looking at Clint here and I'm going, hold on.
Well, it's hard.
I thought it was Clint.
I'm a ghost.
So I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. And I love talking about leadership because it's my passion. Yeah. It's been something I've been committed to my whole life, whether I've realized it or not. The big challenge about leadership, when we think about leadership, most of us, we think about leadership, and if we just are asked about a position or a title or authority, something where we are in a certain seat, right, in the company. We hold a certain title, have a certain office, a certain room. And that is leadership per se, but it's positional leadership. It's authoritative leadership.
But I'm a VP and I work hard.
That's right. I have seen my name badge and my desk title here and door corner office that
I
have.
What about me? I'm the CEO of my company. And someone on the show.
Now here's the thing, without mocking that too much, right? To get there, they had to lead. They had to do something to get to that place.
Well, they earned it.
And they've earned the spot to be there.
We don't take it away from them.
And so I'm really, when I think about leadership, though, I think about influence. John Maxwell talks about it. I've been a John Maxwell executive director, what they do. And one of the things that John Maxwell says is leadership is influence. Mm-hmm. And I believe that. But I also believe it's more than that. Leadership is really about influencing people to grow or to change. Influence, leadership, when we're talking about influence and we're talking about leadership, leadership is really going low that others might be raised up, right? Leadership is, and most people will tell you if they really sum up leadership in one word, what would it be? It's servant leadership. True leadership is about me serving someone else's objective, their mission, their goal, their vision, and how do I help them get from where they are to where they want to be. So that's really, when we talk about leadership, for me, it's about servant leadership. It's about growing other people. Mm-hmm. It's about raising other people up into their destiny and their calling.
Yeah.
When you think about leadership in successful organizations, there's five components of that. But one of the core components of a successful organization is their commitment to leadership. Mm-hmm. But here's the difference. We all say we have a commitment to leadership, but usually leadership in most companies is accidental. You've done a great job. We love how you've performed. Let's put you in this next position, right? And so it happens accidentally.
Yeah.
And really strong companies are companies that are committed to the development and growth of their people in an intentional manner. Leadership's growing people, not just growing positions.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they don't just advance them, they actually train them and equip them to be the leaders in those roles.
There's an intentionality of understanding the people, their gifts, their talents, and their callings, and how do we leverage that to meet the objective of the business or the company? Because it is a business, right? It is all about the business and the objectives of the company.
Yep.
It is about finances. We can't pull money out of it. It is about making money, but it's not just about making money. And the biggest problem I see with companies that I work with right now is there's a boom happening. There's a lot of jobs out there, a lot of growth in companies. The challenge that they're running into is not in the technical skills of people, but it's in what used to be called the soft skills. They're calling essential skills now. It's really in those people skills that they're being challenged with, not their ability to do the job, but their ability to relate with other people, their ability to relate with other companies or institutions or entities, and it's the people skills side of that that we're struggling in.
And that's is that a generational thing or is that across the board?
It's probably across the board, right? We all struggle with that in some fashion, but we do see it heavy in this generation. We've got a lot of technical skills. One of the companies I work with here in the region, they are growing. They're an influential company. They're in the service industry in oil and gas. Mm-hmm. And their average age of their company is 27 years old. So, and they've got 1,000 employees right now, and they'll grow by a net 200 over this next year. So the last 3 years, they've been growing by a net 200 people in their company.
That's huge.
The biggest challenge they have is not finding qualified technicians to do their job. The biggest challenge they have is those technicians that are 27 years old are out on the oil fields. They're out in industries, and in some of your industries, they're out there and they're offering services, but they're 25 talking to a veteran who's been in that industry for 40 years or a VP. And the biggest challenge we have is how do they communicate with them? How do they talk to them? How do they relate to them apart from the technical ability and skills that they have?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things, you know, that I always think of in terms of your professional growth and career growth is that you can pay for college tuition. You can go to college and learn the technical skills. You know, you can gain education. But the soft skills that we're talking about here is something that you really and truly have to learn how to develop. And sometimes you can do it on your own, depending on what kind of past experiences you've had. Sometimes you can't. So can you talk a little bit more about that and some of your experience related to that?
Sure. What I've noticed, so in my 30 years of being involved in leadership in one capacity or another, from being a consultant to colleges, when I graduated college, to being a teacher and a coach, and a basketball coach here in Pasadena. Nice. I coached at Pasadena High School for a while, so this is home for me, and then I was over in Clear Lake as well. But then being an entrepreneur, starting several businesses, and then being a pastor of a church for 20 years and being a church planter, in all of that, it's involved relationships with people. Yeah. You know, really the challenge is in the only way we get to where we want to be is through relationships. No one does it on their own, and one of the things that we're noticing is the challenge of growing people, their vision, their ability to communicate, their own passions, tapping into their strengths and putting them in the right place. There's a great book out there that talks about getting the right person on the right seat of the bus, right? Mm-hmm. And what does that look like? Because we look at their technical skills and we think, oh, they're going to be great. Mm-hmm. And we put them there, but then we run into issues and challenges because their technical skills exceed their people skills.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things we talk about successful organizations. We talked about their commitment to leadership, but one of the other key issues with that is really communication. Mm-hmm. If you really want to boil down most of the challenges and issues we have in companies or in organizations or in leadership, it's with an inability to communicate effectively or efficiently, right? Right. Communication at the bottom line, it's one word. Communication is difficult.
Yeah.
And it's because we make assumptions about how we communicate.
And I mean, where can you learn about communication, right? Because sometimes, I mean, depending, right, if you went to school for this kind of stuff, marketing, communications, you probably know better. But for the majority of the population out there, you learn how to have your own personality, your own style, and you think that fits the person you're talking to, and sometimes that doesn't, right?
So, right. So let me ask you guys a question. You guys that are listening and watching today and that might watch this, comment on this. I'm going to ask you a question. We want to see what you say, right? So here's the question. How much time do you believe you spend in communicating, one-on-one communication in a day, in a work day, okay? So what does that look like? How much time would you guys, now we've kind of run through this a little bit, so I gave them the answer, so they can't cheat and give me the answer, but I'd love to see what some of you guys are saying.
I'm going to justify my answer that I gave previously.
But. You're going to justify it? Okay,
oh,
good.
Wow.
Yeah. So he initially said 40%, but I understand where he's coming from. Bruno was talking about 80, 85%, 75%. In studies, when they talk about communication, right, and as you guys are writing this down, it'll be interesting to see what you put. From McKinsey Global Institute, they did a global study on communication. They're an international data collection company, right? And in their Journal of Communication, they say that leaders spend about 80% of their time in one-to-one direct communication in a day. Right. 80% of our time. Now, most of us, when we talk about communication, we're thinking about what we're doing right now, talking. Oh, yeah. But it's more than the words that we say. We are always communicating.
Yes.
Everyone is always communicating something.
Yeah.
The question is, are we being effective in what we're communicating?
Right.
Let me ask you guys another question there online, okay?
Please comment.
I would love to hear your comments and see what you say. What is the purpose of communication? I didn't ask you guys this one before.
Ooh.
Why do we communicate? What's the purpose of communicating?
Wow. So we can understand and be understood?
Okay.
I guess.
To set expectations.
Set expectations?
Yeah.
Okay.
Majority of the time when I'm trying to communicate with my family or coworkers, usually I'm trying to communicate, these are the expectations, this is the task, this is how I'd like to see it get done, but I'm open. Right. I'm not rigid, right? So if you've got a different way to do it, tell me why you have a different way to do it. But I'm trying to communicate my expectations.
Okay. And those are all right answers, not wrong answers. They're good answers. But I would tell you this. We communicate to be heard. Mm-hmm. Mm. If you simplify it.
So it is a selfish thing.
And that's what you said. We communicate to be heard and understood. Right? Okay. Okay. That's our selfish desires. I'm saying something to you. I'm saying something to all of you because I desire to be heard. I believe I have something to say that's worth saying. Mm. Would you please listen? But it doesn't stop there. Would you please listen and respond and do something? Mm. Right?
Yeah.
We don't, some people, and I've been accused of this, we communicate just to hear ourselves speak. My children say I have a word limit. There's a governor on the number of words I have each day. And if I stop talking all of a sudden, it's because the governor went off and I've already used too many words. But we communicate to be understood or heard.
Right.
And if that's our passion or desire, and we spend 80% of our time in one-to-one communication, what do you think the chance that we're going to mess that up in a day is?
Mm-hmm. Very likely.
It's huge.
Yeah.
The number one problem we run into in companies and organizations and marriages and families and relationships is a failure to communicate, a failure to be able to be heard. Now, I'm going to tell you something else, and this is good. If you guys are listening, lift your feet up, because I'm going to step on your toes for just a quick second, right? Here's the problem with communication. Here's what we run into, and we don't even realize it. We are selfish communicators. In other words, we expect you all to understand and communicate the way I do. And we already know each of us communicate. You've already noticed by watching these podcasts, you've noticed that Clint and Bruno and each of us and Jason and whoever sits in this chair communicates differently. We have different styles of communication.
Right. Yep.
But we are naturally selfish communicators. So I sit here and I'll communicate in my style expecting you to figure me out, to understand what I'm saying, to learn what I'm saying. What do we say to our spouses, okay, or our significant others? We say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, but you know what I meant. You've been around long enough. Right. It's your job to figure me out.
You interpret me.
Or bosses, the CEOs, or the people sitting in the C-suites, or the managers, they look at their employees and say, it's not my job to teach you how to understand me. I'm the boss. Now, we never say those words directly, but it's implied in how we communicate.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We are selfish communicators. Mm-hmm. We need to learn to become selfless communicators.
Right.
The better I can understand how you understand and hear,
understand
Bruno,
then
when I'm talking to you, if I'm conscious of that, I'm going to shift how I communicate
exactly.
to be able to communicate in the way that you hear.
But that's an active skill, though, right?
It takes practice because we are naturally selfish.
Uh-huh. What does that look like? Can you give us an example? I'm going to put you on the spot now.
No problem. So part of it looks like it's part of what, so I'm going to use this as a selfish plug, right?
Okay, sure.
So the selfish plug is part of what I do in companies. I have communication workshops. I do an hour lunch and learn, a 3-hour, a half day, a full day.
Right.
And really what that looks like is we have to understand how people are wired, which means I have to care more about you than I do about me. Mm. I have to care more about what your objective is, your vision and your goal is than I do mine. And when I perceive how you're wired and I choose to be selfless, so I'm listening. An example is some of us, how many of you guys know people that are intellectually driven, which means they are, when they're talking, they're direct to the point. They don't want a lot of fluff. Don't hold my hand. Don't tell me the story of your family. Get to the point. Any of you, you guys online, you all know people like that. Okay. How many of you know people that are more emotional driven? They're more expressive. They like to talk with their hands. They're touchy-feely. They want to tell a story. Mm-hmm. They want to know how your family's doing, right?
Yeah.
You know, people like
those
that?
Those of us that are opposite, they don't get to the point.
Okay. So in workplaces, these are the two that are most obvious, right? In the workplace, those are the two that we see the most. Put a direct, driven person who wants to get to the point, working with a person who's more emotional, tell me how your family's doing, let's spend some time getting to know each other first. Put them together in a work environment and don't understand how they're wired, what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Tell me, what's going to happen in between those two people?
Oh, it's probably
I'm going to get annoyed.
Conflict.
Oh, wait.
You are going to get annoyed because you're direct and to the point. Someone wants to spend some time. If we don't understand how that person is driven, the best example is my wife and I.
Yeah.
I do the DISC communication training with people, and we come in and we talk about it. My wife in the DISC world, and you can do colors and animals and Myers-Briggs. I don't care what you do. She's a D. She's direct and to the point. I'm an I, right? What does that look like in our home? Tell me how much you love me. Tell me how much you appreciate me and how good looking I am. Melinda, if you're listening, tell me how good looking I am. And then ask me to do something and I will do it till I die.
Yeah.
Right?
Love language.
Because that's important. Yeah, the love language.
Sure. Well, the love language, that's what I was going to say right now.
But the other side of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I got offended at my wife because that's not how she's naturally wired. Mm. And I'm thinking because she doesn't do that all the time, right. She must not care. She must not love me. She must not be sensitive to how I'm wired.
Right. Well,
that was never true.
Right.
So that's the example. If we don't take time to understand how we're wired, mm-hmm. we make assumptions about why and how we're communicating, which lead to conflict.
Yeah,
think
yeah.
about that in the workplace. It happens every day. That's just one of the assumptions we
right.
make. The other ones, real quick, and I won't go through them. We don't share the same vision. Mm-hmm. So that's an assumption we make. We think we do. We end up
right.
in different places.
Yep.
We don't share the same knowledge or definition of words.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we use words and think we understand it. I won't
yeah,
do the example, but are telling our kids to go clean their room. We
yeah.
have one idea, they have another because
yep.
they didn't meet our expectation,
yep.
and if we didn't make it clear, we think they failed and they're rebellious.
Right,
90% of the time, they're not failing, they're not rebellious. They did it as they understood it, but
yeah.
they didn't understand what we understood.
Right,
yeah.
same thing in the workplace. So we have those assumptions. We have assumptions of our communication style, or our expectations of our experiences.
Yeah.
So here's the challenge with all this. And then I'll let you guys ask another question because I can go on forever about this. The problem with this is to get to know someone, it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes a commitment to want to get to know them.
Right.
Yeah.
So we just talked about the D and the
yeah.
I. The other two sides of that, which is a lot of you guys that are listening in the petrochem industry,
right.
you are what we call S's and C's. You're driven by right and wrong. You're driven by procedures and policies.
Mm.
You're driven by solutions and solving problems and answers.
Yeah. yeah.
Right? And so that's very important to you. And you're not as people driven as you are solution driven.
Yeah.
Right.
So then, again, you go into clients and customers, you're out working
yeah.
with them, and they're different personality types, different communication styles. If we don't understand it, it is automatically going to lead to conflict.
Mm.
And conflict leads to broken relationships. It leads to departures in companies and associations.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
leads to splits in organizations because yeah. we don't take the time to do what we're talking about.
Right. Now, you do realize that that is a current problem that most companies suffer from, right? I don't think there's one company out there that's immune to this problem. But at the same time, when a company hire employees, they're paying your salary, right? Who's to adapt here? Is it the CEO and the management or the employee?
Right.
Or is there somewhere in the middle where they can meet?
So great question. And I know, you know, time's running on us a little bit. But
yeah.
if we go back to the definition of leadership.
Yeah.
If leadership is about serving, if it's about raising other people up, then that example you gave shouldn't work. Because then you're saying, I'm in the CEO position.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to do what I tell you to do.
Right.
Well, bottom line, and you guys know it is.
Mm-hmm.
You hire me, I'm hiring you to do a job.
Right.
So let's not
yeah.
pretend that doesn't exist.
Sure.
But when they do the best job they can, when they excel and exceed what your expectations are, when they're able to perform with excellence,
yeah.
what happens to the organization, the company? It grows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we want to get them to win,
yeah.
right?
Also
and so as a leader, and to feel valued and to feel
right.
in the right place.
And that's really
so
important.
So as the leader, the CEO, the CFO, the whatever, the HR, it doesn't matter, a manager, whatever your title is, your job is to get the most out of that person.
Right.
You can either get it out of them by demanding of them,
yeah.
which they will do, but they won't last. You'll have high turnover
right.
because they'll only go for so long because that's authority accountability. It's authority leadership. It's
yeah.
positional. Or you can do it relationally
mm.
by understanding how they're wired, how to communicate them, and to call them out and to grow them up.
Yeah.
And when they feel valued, and I don't care if they're 25 years old or 55 years old, when they feel heard
yeah.
and understood, what you can ask of them and where you can take them is huge.
Absolutely.
I completely
agree. So I know you got to do a commercial.
Yeah,
we
real
got
quick,
to,
yep, let's do
absolutely.
A commercial break. So we do want to thank and recognize our sponsors. So Industrial Safety Training Council is here to provide support for this podcast. We really appreciate that. The ISTC is the nation's leading industrial workforce compliance organization. They're committed to the safety of our petrochemical plants, pipelines, and their contractors. You can drop them a line at #IAmSafety. We also want to thank McDonough Engineering Corporation. They're a full-service engineering firm specializing in industrial site design, including tank terminals, truck loading facilities, and manufacturing distribution facilities. They're a proud sponsor of the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region and this podcast. You can check them out at mectx.com. And lastly, we want to thank our big sponsor, Turner Industries. For over 55 years, Turner Industries employees across the Gulf Coast and beyond have answered the country's toughest industrial challenges. They provide one solution for your success with industrial construction, maintenance, turnaround, pipe and module fabrication, equipment, rigging, and specialized transportation, and associated specialty services. You can learn more about them at turner-industries.com. Also want to hit a brief announcement. If you're not familiar with BIC, they are one of our media partners. We love having BIC Magazine as one of our media partners. They're great people. They have a really great recruiting arm as well. Mm-hmm. And they're actually having their crawfish boil on May 2nd.
Crawfish.
So at Sylvan Beach, you can go to their website to learn more about that.
And not then, sucking the heads. Not doing
it. I wasn't even going to ask.
Okay, I'm not doing it. I'm going, but I'm not doing it. I'm a Yankee.
I was, since we're kind of in the announcement mode. Right, you've got an announcement about an event coming up too.
Yeah, we do think we did it last year. It was our first year to host it here in the region. It's called Live to Lead. Live to Lead will be, I believe it's on October 12th. It's a leadership gathering. It's a half day. John Maxwell will be there. It's a live simulcast that John Maxwell facilitates. We'll have four or five nationally known leaders in different industries that will share their take on leadership. So it's a great opportunity for us to come together. You can come and be a sponsor as an individual, spend half a day and hear from some of the top leaders. Daniel Pink was there last year. Carly Fiorini was there last year. They haven't announced the lineup this year, but it's going to be an excellent lineup. And if you want more information on how to get involved with Live to Lead, or if you were a part of it last year, we'd love to hear from you. You can email or get a hold of Clint. He can get a hold of me. Or email me at rick@ricktorreson.com. They can get the information. But I'd love to tell you more about that and be a part of Live to Lead, which is October 12th.
Awesome.
No, that'd amazing. Be great.
Appreciate that.
So and you got the crawfish boil, by the way, you do have to go on the website and register for it, right? So just make sure you do that if you're planning on coming out this week.
Right.
So.
And you've got a question. You got the next segment. So you got a question for Rick?
Yeah, so I mean, so far I'm learning a lot. I feel like this is almost like a coaching session. So if you guys are tuned in, drop your comments below and let us know what it is that you like about this episode. But let's drill further into it. And now let's talk more about you, Rick, and where you were and what are some of the things, a thing or two that has taken you to where you are today.
Sure. Well, man, what's the greatest teacher, right? What do we always say? It's experience. Mm-hmm. It's history. It's knowledge. There's something that only time can give you. I'm in my 50s now. Yes, I know I don't look like it. This is my good side here. So, but there's something that only time teaches you. Yeah. And it's not just time. It's not just successes, but it's failures. And so I have tried to be an intentional learner my whole life. Mm-hmm. If I was going to suggest to anyone, what is the number one thing that you can do in your life to help you get from where you are to where you want to be? Mm-hmm. There's a couple things I'd say, but one of those things I would say is position yourself to be a learner.
Yep.
Position yourself to learn in every opportunity, in every situation you can. I don't believe that there are failures. I believe that we fail, mm-hmm. but we're not failures unless we quit. Right. Unless we stop, unless we don't get up. Then you're a failure because you choose not to get up. But we have failure moments.
Right.
All right. We fail at things. But failing isn't the same as being a failure. Failing is about leadership. It's about learning. It's about growing. Yeah. When we struggle, when we fall, when we stumble, when we don't succeed, when we don't hit our goals, yeah, we're down, we're upset, we're frustrated. Yeah. But the reality is, and I would encourage all of you, learn something from it. Mm-hmm. The worst thing in the world is when you go back around and you do it again.
Yeah.
It just wears a different coat and it has a different name and it's with different people.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of going around the mountain visiting the same failures.
Right.
So that would be one thing I would say is understand, position yourself to be a learner, always.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always have something to learn. If I was the only one doing this podcast right now and I was the only one sitting here, you would learn some things from me, but it's a 1x multiplier. Mm-hmm. Because there's three of us sitting here, there's a 3x multiplier. I've gotten three times smarter than I am by myself.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Because 100%. But if we look at our teams and our companies, our relationships, that when we sit at the table by ourselves, I may be really smart, but I am 10 times smarter if there's a team of 10 around me.
Sure.
And if we see ourselves that way and understand I can learn something from everyone,
yes.
then we're going to be better and others will be better. So that's one thing. The other thing I tell you is, and it's less understood and it's less practical, and it's more of what I was mentioning earlier.
Right.
One of the biggest things that has helped me get to where I am today is this understanding of honoring.
Yeah.
It's the understanding of being thankful. You guys, I think we're going to do a gratitude thing at the end.
Yeah.
Let me just say this to you guys. I think we fail to, and we limit our future by the way that we fail to honor and recognize our present and our past.
You know, let me interrupt for that for just
absolutely.
1 second. If you could put something that you're grateful for in the comments, that would be fantastic. I'd just love to see that.
So
it would encourage me.
I would say gratefulness. And
put
who would you honor?
Yeah.
List a name. We may not know the name, but when you speak someone's name, I want to honor so-and-so for what they gave me.
Well,
I'm
me take
thankful
a moment
for so-and-so.
To say this. if you don't know how to hashtag people, you can put the at sign and their name and write a message to them, right?
There
so
you
if
go.
You're grateful for something, if you've got somebody in your career that has mentored you, that has helped you get where you are, or maybe you were struggling at some point and now you're up here,
come on, Bruno.
But you forgot to thank that person, and go ahead and hashtag their name, put their name down,
absolutely.
And write specifically.
So hashtag their name or at
so
their
at,
name?
At. Sorry.
At Rick Torreson or
that's
at
it.
Ben Metter or at Melinda Torreson.
Yes.
It will get to them. That's a tag.
That's it.
Okay, I'm
you,
a
exactly.
Not,
so
okay.
Exactly. So.
So excellent. If you take nothing else of what we've done, if you'll take that one moment and bless somebody,
yep.
Honor somebody, tell them thank you for the influence they've had in their lives.
That's it.
The power of that is twofold. It encourages the person that has empowered you, but I get a joy out of it when I do it because I feel better because I'm recognizing and remembering the impact of people and what they've had in my lives. You've had great people on this show, right?
Yeah.
You talked about some of your sponsors in Turner. Carla did a great job when she was on the show.
Yeah.
I've known Fred for a long time. Fred's an amazing leader and has impacted this region and beyond for a long time. I've never met Captain Deal. I loved what he did and listening to his stuff. I've heard about him. That was tremendous.
Yeah.
Dennis, I've known. I've gotten to work with him and his company for the last year. Tremendous man who's got great wisdom and experience. And then I'll have to mention the first guy, Chad something.
Yeah.
What's his name? Chad Burke?
Burke.
Yeah. So I've been able to walk with Chad on a pretty intense level for the last year. And that is a man of integrity. And so I say all that to honor them.
Yeah.
But I'd also say, so I'm going to do my gratitude and you guys can do some of my honor. I want to honor a guy named Doug Stringer. Doug Stringer has been an influence in my life from my faith perspective. He has shown me what true humility looks like and demonstrated. Ben Metter, who's my father-in-law, and some of you guys will know that name. He's been in the region for a long time. He has mentored and grown me in conviction and beliefs, that having a conviction and belief is powerful. My wife has been one of my greatest influences in what she has shown me is compassion and consistency in relationship, unconditional love. So there's others that I would say, but I'm thankful for those people.
Right.
And I honor those people because I would not be who I am without them in my life. And so I take every chance I get to honor before we do anything else, because when we fail to honor, we limit our future.
Yeah.
Right. So, Bruno, we're going to switch gears a little bit, too. Why don't you go ahead and do your attitude of gratitude? Now, we usually start off the show with that.
Okay.
But we want to kind of use that to close out the show for now on. So,
are we officially closing out the show?
Yeah, we're kind of winding it down.
Okay.
But what's your attitude of gratitude? What are you grateful for? Can you share a little bit with us?
You know, I was just thinking about that this week, right? So, I just came back from Colorado about a week or so ago. And as I was driving back, I was wondering what I want my life to look like. I wrote down some goals later last year before I started the year, and they were very specific, and primarily because of my YouTube channel, I was putting this stuff out there and kind of tracking myself. But the primary and the most important thing I've done this year that I'm grateful for is that I decided to trust God, right? So I've been a Christian for a long time. Since 1991, I was 7 years old. I did not do all the right things through my Christian career. But one thing I decided to do this year is to open the Bible and start reading it and studying it. Not just reading it, but really studying it and trusting God to help me accomplish my goals. And guess what? At least 80% of my goals have already been accomplished this year. And God is now telling me, now what? Do you mind if I accomplish my goals in your life now? And I'm like, all right, you're in. I'm out of the driver's seat. I'll take shotgun. So that's just it.
Yeah,
right. That's awesome. And so for me, I actually started a company this year, so that's always, you have those good days and bad days, but I could not be doing this without the support of my wife. She's been just super supportful. I'm very grateful to have her in my life. She drives and motivates me, kind of like you were talking about with Melinda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it wasn't for the support that she's given me, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. So I'm just very grateful to have that support from her and from my kids, honestly. They can,
that's awesome.
Kids could be stumbling blocks. But my kids have been nothing but encouragement.
The joy of our lives.
So they've been very encouraging. Yeah. So I'm just very grateful for that. We do want to thank our sponsors again. So we want to thank Industrial Safety Training Council for being a part of the show, for McDonough Engineering Corporation, and for Turner Industries. Rick, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate
it. It's my pleasure.
I know you guys are definitely going to want to know more about this guy. So
you
mentioned his email earlier. Check out Right Now Leadership. Check out the
Live to Lead. That'll be coming
up.
You'll hear that through the Alliance as well. So that
and you can get it through.
Communicate.
Yeah. You'll get it through the Alliance. You'll get it through. If you don't get in contact with Rick, reach out to me, Jason, Bruno. We'll get you in contact with them.
Yeah.
But thanks for watching the show. Really appreciate you being here. Hope you have a great Friday. And come back next week. Please tell a friend, share, subscribe,
yep,
comment, like, do it all. Let's go.
Take care.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
Bye.
Economic Alliance thanks you for tuning in to the Gulf Coast Growth Show. Be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and share with your friends.